This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. 100 years ago today, after the long fight by suffragists, Congress passed the 19th Amendment. It would be more than a year later, 1920, before enough states ratified women's right to vote. A century later, let's talk about surprising parallels between then and now on the subject of money in politics. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
Suffrage anthems like Daughters of Freedom can bring to mind images of women in white marching for equality, of hunger strikes and sacrifice. Corinne McConaughey is a political science professor at George Washington University.
We don't tend to teach about the suffrage movement as a major, well-funded organization in American political history, but it was.
The National Women's Party had hundreds of donors from all over the country. Joan Marie Johnson is author of Funding Feminism and says the group was
recording gifts from 25 cents a dollar all the way up to Mrs. Alva Vanderbilt Belmont's $76,000.
And when wealthy widow Miriam Leslie left a $1 million estate to the cause in 1914, the suffragists did what interest groups in Washington do to this day. Hired a bunch of lobbyists to counter dismissive messages.
Hear the tramp of their feet as they come down the street. Gee, those girlies look sweet.
That's a 1913 recording of Your Mother's Gone Away to Join the Army, meant to mock the women. The suffrage lobbyists also kept notes on how to deal with powerful men in Washington.
Don't go see a senator right before lunch. He's too hungry and he's not going to pay attention to you. But also, don't close the door when you're in the office of a senator alone.
The movement published newspapers, created pro-suffrage silent films and cartoons.
They are running their own propaganda machine.
George Washington's McConaughey says the women were also careful to appear ladylike.
And in some sense have an understanding of being seen as too politically savvy might be bad for the cause.
Politics played out behind the scenes, too. The movement was funded mainly by wealthy, white women. Sarah Briner is with the Center for Responsive Politics, which tracks campaign finance.
So the wives of wealthy railroad tycoons and people who had access to power were the ones negotiating the discussions about who would be able to have access to power in a post-suffrage world.
Many of these women didn't push to end things like poll taxes or literacy tests, which continued to restrict voting for Black and poor women for decades to come. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.